Welcome to the Catholic Sphere. Each week we have a different host and a different focus as we tackle topics important to Catholics around the globe. I'm your host this week, Debbie Cowden, and in today's episode, we'll be answering questions about endometriosis, infertility, hormone imbalances, and other health issues affecting women, and we'll offer pathways to healing. My panelists today are Dr. Blaise Milburn, an OBGYN and NAPRO-trained surgeon practicing in Steubenville, Ohio; Laura Ducote, a certified family nurse practitioner, Creighton model practitioner, and medical consultant from Birmingham, Alabama; and Dr. Teresa Hilgers, an OBGYN at the world-renowned St. Paul VI Institute in Omaha, Nebraska. Thank you all so much for joining me. And now, before we begin, a viewer advisory. We will be talking about procreation and human physiology on today's show, and we know the topics discussed aren't suitable for all audiences. Viewer discretion is advised. Remember, you also can view this episode later on ewtn.com/on-demand or on the free EWTN app. And also, while we're speaking with medical professionals, the information shared is not meant to serve as medical advice, nor is it intended to diagnose or treat any illnesses. So please speak with your doctor directly to discuss treatment options, and we'll tell you how to do that today. Dr. Milburn, I'd like to start with you. And one of the reasons I wanted to have the three of you on is because in talking with female friends, colleagues, and family members, I realized that female reproductive issues are rampant, and they run the gamut from hormonal acne to debilitating periods to infertility and recurrent miscarriage. So what are some of the symptoms that something is amiss in a woman's body?
Right.
Well, there's many potential symptoms. It depends on the patient, but you know, when you're talking about endometriosis, typically these women have regular cycles. So they're having a period every month. They have debilitatingly painful periods, although not always. So it's a bit of a spectrum there. They can have pain with intercourse as well, and usually infertility. So the generally accepted definition of infertility is 1 year of random intercourse, no pregnancy. The great thing about the Creighton model or other systems of NFP is it shortens that period of time to 6 months. So in 6 months, if a woman is using her fertile time of the cycle for intercourse and there's nothing wrong with her husband, then she should be pregnant. And if she's not, there's something wrong. So these are all potential symptoms of that disease. Irregular cycles would be a sign of PCOS potentially. Yes, acne or abnormal hair growth. If a woman is having a lot of hair growth like me, like thick, coarse hairs under her chin or her neck, that could be a sign of that. PMS typically is a sign of inadequate luteal phase hormones, so hormones after ovulation. So these symptoms can be, there are many different ones for PMS, and they run the gamut of anything from bloating to headaches to insomnia, carb cravings, especially for chocolate. So there's many symptoms that you can that will kind of point you in a certain direction that this is what the actual diagnosis is for the woman. The key is you have to listen. You have to actually take a good history. You have to care about finding out what is going on. What is the underlying problem for the woman? NFP helps that, but also a good history also helps that as well. So doctors need to do that more. I mean, Dr. Hilgers and I, we do NAPRO technology, so that's what we do on a daily basis. And other NAPRO doctors do the same. I just wish it was more prevalent.
Exactly. And I hope that as we go throughout the episode today, that women will start to take note of any symptoms that they might be having so that they can talk to their doctor about looking for that diagnosis and trying to figure out what is going on so they can seek paths to healing. And Laura, we spoke in a previous show about how birth control pills are just sort of thrown at women as a one-size-fits-all solution to these issues. And there are a lot of them. What is the problem with the pill?
So I think when you're looking at it kind of broadly, it's mostly just that ovulation is a sign of health. Our fertility is a gift. It's not a disease. And when we're using hormonal contraception or birth control pills, you know, we're looking at suppressing ovulation in various different ways to essentially suppress these other kind of symptoms that are coming out of maybe some hormonal imbalance or something along those lines. But you can't just suppress the whole system. I mean, our endocrine system, our reproductive system, it's like another body system. It's all, we're made as integrated beings. You can't just shut down an entire system and expect that to be fine for a person's health. So I think what we're looking at is really just that it's a suppressive way of treating women's health issues versus what we want to offer in NAPRA technology is a restorative approach to women's health care.
And what a beautiful word that you use, restorative, because we're not just covering up the problems, but actually fixing them. And now, Dr. Hilger, so many of these women have just accepted that reproductive health issues exist, like those excruciating menstrual cramps, heavy bleeding, hormonal acne, wild mood swings, and bizarre food cravings. So what is actually considered normal? What is that threshold? And when should women start to seek help?
Yeah, it's really amazing when you're in the medical field and you start talking to women and you start to realize that women actually have no idea as to what's normal or not normal. And actually, many physicians and other medical professionals don't either. And I can give you a few examples along the way. But for a normal cycle, it should be anywhere between 24 to 38 days in length. Our bleeding during the menstrual, the menses, where the woman sheds the lining of the uterus, that should last anywhere between 3 to 7 days. It shouldn't be longer than that. She shouldn't have a lot of spotting before the start of her period. So if a woman has 3, 4, 5 days of spotting before the start of her period, that's really abnormal. Cramping during the period should also be very minimal too. Unfortunately, I think this is one area where women have a really poor understanding of what's normal. Dr. Milbourne and I, we deal a lot with women with endometriosis. And that's a condition that creates a lot of pain. And after you treat these women, it's remarkable to see how much their pain improves, where they'll have very mild cramping to no pain. And you start to recognize as a physician that, wow, I actually think this is what normal is. We're not supposed to be taking ibuprofen and Tylenol for 2 or 3 days straight. We're not supposed to be missing out on activities because of our pain. I've had patients tell me that they couldn't have endometriosis despite having severe pain because they weren't throwing up like their friend or their cousin was. So we compare ourselves to each other, unfortunately. And so sometimes while we may be suffering, we see another woman who's suffering more. And so we think, well, we can't have a problem. They are the ones with the problem. And medical professionals are not very good at really understanding what's normal for the menstrual cycle as well. And Dr. Milburn talked a lot about premenstrual syndrome. That's an area that actually a lot of people don't realize is an abnormality and deserves to be treated. A lot of women suffer from this hormonal abnormality. They're very irritable. Maybe they're depressed mood, headaches, difficulty sleeping before the start of their periods. And it starts to impact not only their ability to function during their cycle, but also their relationships. A lot of women will describe how they take out their symptoms of their PMS on their husbands or their children. And they will say, I feel like I'm a terrible mother. I feel like I'm a terrible wife. And they feel even worse about it. And so it's really something that impacts them in more ways than they realize. And so part of the thing that we have to do is we have to teach these women and educate them. And I think that's a beautiful thing about our approach to medicines. There's a lot of education that occurs.
And all of this is in line with the teachings of the Catholic Church. The NAPRA technology, natural family planning, they're all in line with what the church says is good and beautiful because we're honoring the dignity of the human person. And with these NAPRA technologies, you know, we understand that the time of the month or, you know, a woman's period should not be the butt of a joke. And so, Dr. Hilger, we've laid the groundwork that women are suffering silently with these symptoms. It's not isolated. It affects the entire family. It deprives women of their ability to enjoy their lives. So how is it that NAPRO is helping women to heal?
It's a great question. You know, the healing sometimes is rapid and sometimes it takes time. I think the first thing is we teach them about their cycles. When they learn how to chart their cycles, that chart shows them what they're feeling physically. There are abnormalities on their chart. So the woman feels validated. Many times women feel like they're crazy, that they're making this stuff up, or people have told them, you know, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. And then when we start to evaluate whatever the underlying condition is and we show them, no, there is actually a problem and we need to address it, it really helps them. And if they're dealing with infertility or recurrent miscarriages, it helps their husbands as well. And I also think it fosters a greater a greater appreciation for our fertility, what normal fertility is, what normal menstrual cycles are. And for a medical professional, when we start to realize that there are abnormalities occurring, and you know that women can feel better, it really does drive you to try to help them get to that point and really help improve their lives as best as we can.
And I'm so grateful for the work that you, Dr. Hilders, are doing with the St. Paul VI Institute, and also the work, Dr. Milburn, that you are doing. So let's talk about endometriosis, for example. What is it? How common is it? And why is it so problematic for women?
Well, endometriosis basically is a disease where the cells that are lining the uterus, the endometrium, that's what a woman sheds every month with her period, those cells, or cells that look like them, get outside the uterus and they implant in the pelvis ectopically on the external surface of the pelvic organs. So they're on the external surface of the uterus, the tubes, the ovaries, the rectum, the peritoneal lining, behind the bladder. They can be on the bowel, the small intestine, the appendix. They can even be up at the diaphragm. So we have to look up in the right upper quadrant of the abdomen above the liver, and we find them there a lot as well. And the prevalence is thought to be around 10% or so of the population. I think it's probably significantly higher than that because it's only diagnosed via laparoscopy. There really is no other way to diagnose it. There's no blood test that tells a woman she has this disease. So there's nothing really that assists the doctor besides finding the lesions in the pelvis, directly visualizing them. And really, unless you know what you're looking for and you've been trained, biopsy is really the ultimate gold standard. So getting some tissue so the pathologist can take a look at it and then confirm the diagnosis, basically. So I would think that it's a lot more than 10% actually in the greater population. And because doctors are so reluctant to take patients back to the operating room to find this disease, unfortunately. Women suffer for years, sometimes up to, on average, 10 years or so until they get a diagnosis. So it's really, the care for this is really, really poor. Why it's so problematic is that it creates a lot of inflammation locally in the pelvis. So that peritoneal fluid that all women have, just that free fluid in their pelvis, becomes highly inflammatory and toxic. And when a woman ovulates, she releases an egg just freely into her abdomen. And her tubes are hanging down into the lower pelvis. They catch the egg. Sperm makes its way down the tube to the egg, baby back to the uterus, and that's how a woman becomes pregnant. So if this whole environment is very toxic and inflammatory, it's very difficult to conceive. Some women can, but they invariably have trouble. They either have big spaces between their kids that they, or between their pregnancies that they couldn't explain, or they have recurrent losses, or they can't get pregnant at all. In addition, with endometriosis, part of it, I think the pain experienced in the woman is due to the inflammation, but it does increase pain fiber growth in the pelvis as well. So there's actually more nerves transmitting pain in a woman's pelvis from this disease. So it causes a lot of problems in many ways, and it really affects women's quality of life. And the only treatment is surgery. You have to find these lesions. You have to destroy them or excise them. We favor excision with Napro technology. And then women feel a lot better. Their quality of life is enhanced, and their chances of fertility are enhanced as well. Unfortunately, it is a chronic disease, and I do have to tell patients that, so it can come back even despite the best efforts of the surgeon. But we try to treat it in such a complete way that it gives it the lowest chance of it returning for the patient.
And what is the difference then between how it's treated with conventional medicine versus Napro technology?
Well, with conventional medicine, really just birth control pills are thrown at the women. They have pain, here's birth control pills, and okay, it shuts off the menstrual cycle. They don't feel as much pain. Some women do. They feel awful in other ways. They have irregular spotting. It causes a whole host of other problems, and certainly they're not going to get pregnant. So that doesn't help their fertility. Otherwise, if a doctor is going to try to treat endometriosis, typically they will do a laparoscopy. It's usually a poor laparoscopy because doctors are not well trained to treat this disease. I went through 4 years of residency. While I got excellent training, I was only part of a few cases of endometriosis. I had to go to the Pope Paul VI Institute, where I did a couple hundred cases of endometriosis and use a carbon dioxide laser to cut it out, where I finally learned how to properly treat this disease and excise it. So a doctor will go in, will find it, try to try to locate it, usually won't find it all, will miss a lot of disease. And then what they do find, they'll try to burn it. They'll try to use cautery, so they'll just fulgurate the lesions. And that's really the worst way to treat it. And you cause a lot of damage to adjacent tissues as well that might be perfectly healthy. These lesions can be very small and speckled throughout the pelvis. And really what you want to do is treat those lesions and leave healthy tissue untouched. And so when we use a carbon dioxide laser, we're cutting out those lesions. We're being very delicate with our excision. And then we're leaving that healthy tissue adjacent to those lesions completely, like I said, untouched. And then we can repair tissue as well. So it's not only just taking it out, but then in NAPRO technology, we try to reperitonealize the pelvis. So we repair all of these defects so that women heal appropriately with the minimum of chance of scar tissue developing as well. So it's just far superior.
It is far superior. And you're talking about healing. And for our viewers, if you missed the episode that we did last month about what the church teaches about women's health, you'll know, or I'll tell you again right now, that it was actually Dr. Thomas Hilgers and the St. Paul VI Institute who had answered the call in Humanae Vitae, the papal encyclical, which called scientists and doctors and lay people to pursue advancements in women's health so that we didn't have to rely on these subpar methods like contraception, sterilization, abortion, IVF, et cetera. It was the church that paved the way for us to be able to have these superior technologies like NAPRO in order to truly restore women's health. And another one of those great methods that was developed as a result of Humanae Vitae was natural family planning. And Laura, you're a natural family planning practitioner and you teach women and couples how to use cycle charting. The information is really helpful when you bring it to a doctor, particularly the NAPRO trained doctors, when diagnosing things like endometriosis, polycystic ovaries, PMS, and so on. But how does that work?
Yeah, so, I mean, we can now take this data that women are charting. And I mean, I think the crazy part is that even ladies that haven't been trained in natural family planning yet, they typically have some sort of app. Like they're typically still documenting something about this important aspect of what's happening in their body. So then once we give them the tools with natural family planning instruction to then pinpoint an additional piece, not just the bleeding, but also the cervical fluid, other biomarkers that will pinpoint where ovulation is happening in the cycle, we as medical professionals can then take all of this data that's available to us and use it similar to like lab results or ultrasounds, or, you know, it's speaking a story to us once we have been attuned to read it. And so we look at the pieces like, okay, from the cycle day one being the first day of bleeding to the next cycle day one, that's the cycle length. That's not how many days your period is. The cycle length, how long is that? What's our time frame where ovulation occurs within that cycle length? Is that, you know, about halfway through? So we have a pretty even pre-ovulatory phase and post-ovulatory phase, or is that ovulation happening actually pretty late? And then as somebody mentioned earlier, that PMS component is a lot more likely to be happening if that ovulation is occurring late in the cycle and then they have a very short luteal phase or that post-ovulation phase. So we've learned, you know, over time, you know, what these things mean. Is there limited cervical fluid? Is there a lot of cervical fluid? What is that bleeding pattern looking like? What color is it? You know, and we can take that data and then it can pinpoint, you know, to us where we need to start looking. Or really, you know, once we've been doing this for a long time, we can look at that chart and go, yeah, you have a progesterone deficiency, or yeah, we're gonna need to look into that thyroid, or we're gonna need to do some blood sugar testing for you. You know, it speaks a story to us. And as medical professionals, like, we just have to be able to take that from, you know, this woman is spending her time observing these things, documenting these things, and it's our responsibility to be able to read that, to be able to listen to the patient and see what she's talking about. Because so many of the times I hear my ladies, when I was just doing instruction, that they would take their chart to a healthcare provider and they would basically tell them to put it away. Like, they were like, oh, I don't know how to read that. And it's like, if you are working in women's health, this is valuable data to figure out what is happening within the interplay of the hormones for that person, signs of inflammation, signs of endometriosis. I mean, we just have to be able to read this as healthcare providers working in women's health at this point.
Exactly. And I appreciate what you brought up about the thyroid and about blood sugar. The woman's body is not just her reproductive organs. It is her entire system, her entire body, because she is a whole person. And so there can't possibly, you know, rationally be one single approach like hormonal contraception to treat the issues that a woman's having when the origin may not even be in the female's reproductive system, or it may be other factors in her body that are contributing to it. It's a fascinating science and something that women deserve to have the care taken to address. And Dr. Hilgers, your father, Dr. Thomas Hilgers, is the father of NAPRO technology, and he co-developed the Creighton model of natural family planning that Laura was describing. You essentially grew up with the idea that women should be using medicine to heal a woman's body, not just treat the symptoms, and that this is a field where there is still so much to learn, but that's not the norm today. So what is conventional medicine missing that NAPRO and NFP provide?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing is within medicine, we've actually separated the concepts of love and life. And that was done with the advent of contraception and abortion. And so we no longer, contraception allows us to start to use women in very terrible ways. And to look at them in a box. So we've lost this ability within medicine to actually look at the woman, look at the couple as a person with human dignity who needs our respect, needs to respect their fertility, respect the decision-making of the couple in the regards to building their family. And so it's interesting because in Humani Vitae, they warned against, for example, separating the unitive and the procreative aspects of the active intercourse in marriage. But I don't think that we always realize how much that the separation of love and life has impacted our society and our medical profession. Within women's healthcare, we are now in a place where fertility really is a disease. It's a problem. We only want it to work when a woman wants to become pregnant. But other than that, we need to shut it down. I hear doctors tell patients all the time, well, we don't want you to have periods. They're just an inconvenience. Well, that's not correct. We just have such a poor understanding of what our menstrual cycles are supposed to do, what our fertility is supposed to be. There's actually no appreciation for fertility within our society, and that includes our medical profession. And it all started when we separated the concepts of love and life, and we made it a very sterile portion of our healthcare. It's a very cold way of looking at women's health, but that's where we're at. When we talk about NAPRO technology, we don't separate love and life. We actually want couples to understand their appreciation. We want young women who may not be married to appreciate their gift of their fertility and try to address problems before they become bigger issues. We want their quality of life to be good. We want to teach them about healthy relationships. I have a group of patients that I treated when they were in high school and college, and then they became married, and they knew they might have risk factors for infertility. But it shortened their time to pregnancy if they did have infertility because they came back to us quickly because they knew they might have problems. So they didn't have to suffer for 5, 10, 15 years before they ever sought help for infertility. I also think that one of the really crucial factors in NAPRO technology is you have to listen to your patients. This is not a 5-minute appointment or a 10-minute appointment. You have to sit and you have to dialogue. We have to teach and we have to listen. And these are concepts that are brought into how we take care of our patients. But it all goes back to the idea of we want to respect the woman, her dignity as a human being, the dignity of her marriage, and the dignity of any future children that might be blessed in that marriage. And so I just really think it all starts with how we actually view these concepts. And it really starts from that separation of love and life.
And praise God for the work of the St. Paul VI Institute reuniting those concepts and sharing them with the world. Dr. Milburn, I'm grateful that there are doctors like you who are trained at the St. Paul VI Institute and who are focused on not just treating the symptoms, but curing illnesses and restoring health. What advice would you give to another doctor who may be listening and thinking, well, that's great, but I can't really just stop what I'm doing right now and change paths and stop prescribing contraceptions, stop doing sterilization surgeries or abortions or hysterectomies? What would you do to encourage them?
Well, that's that. When you're talking about changing your career path and what you've been doing on a daily basis, that's certainly a daunting decision to make. But the Lord works in mysterious ways. The Holy Spirit works, and we have consciences, and we have to face that. We can't hide from that. And you know, if you know that these things are wrong or they're morally unacceptable, then that's something that you have to face and you have to reconcile with yourself and decide to go a different path. And I think doctors, once they realize that there's another way to do this, there's another way to practice medicine with obstetrics and gynecology in particular, they'll find that a whole nother world will open up to them that they did not even know existed. And women will appreciate them in ways that they didn't even know they could be appreciated before. And they'll find new patients and their practices will explode because women want this. Women want this approach. They want to be cared for in this way. They don't want these types of things. Yes, I mean, some women, yes, of course they do. They do come in, they expect contraception and things like that. But I think a lot of women want to be treated in such a way like their natural human dignity demands. And if you practice medicine in this way, you're in line with that. And they want that and they appreciate that. And we find that every day in our clinic. It really is wonderful. And like I mentioned previously, whether they're religious or not, they all appreciate it. They appreciate that approach that's being taken to them. So if you're one of these doctors that is doing these things and you realize that you need to make a change, yes, it's scary to think that, oh my gosh, all of my practice is now going to go away. I'm going to lose patients. You might lose some, but you're going to gain a whole lot more. And then some of those patients that thought they wanted these approaches are going to realize, you know what? I really like this doctor. I appreciate them for this decision they made, this change in their practice, and they're going to stay. And then they're going to appreciate this new way of doing things. So take heart. Trust in the Lord. You know, Jesus said, trust multiple times throughout the gospel. He emphasized that we have to trust in him. We really do. And if we do that, we can do amazing things. So that's what I would say to them.
Amen. And we pray that God will bless and protect and inspire the doctors, the nurses, the scientists, the health professionals, and the families who want to follow the church's teachings and pursue not only a more ethically sound option, but the superior option for healthcare. Well, I knew that this show was going to fly by today, but if you want to hear more from the Catholic Sphere, remember that you can stream all the past episodes and many, many other great programs on our online streaming platform, EWTN On Demand. It's EWTN.com/on-demand or on the free EWTN app. Dr. Blaise Milburn, Laura Ducote, and Dr. Teresa Hilgers, thank you for joining me. And thank you for joining too. We hope to see you again next week, right here on the Catholic Sphere.